Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and welcome to another day of A Response of a Day. Today we're going to learn a response for the 22nd of Av, and we're going to do so by thanking the OU, Rabbi Jack Abramowitz and David Hochhauser, for their help in putting the shiurim online. I think I've got to find new ways to say these things. I don't like saying the exact same sentences over and over again, but that's what we're going to do. Today we're going to study a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein from Igros Moshe in Yoredeya, in the second time he addressed Yoredeya issues. Response number 72, and it's dated the 22nd of Av of Tavshin Chav Bet of 1962. And as a bit of background, it's important to start with the idea of what a veset is, what vestot are. So the Torah has certain halachos for a woman who is in nida, which is primarily a woman who is menstruating. In the time of the Torah, and for much of the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, although it later changed, there was another status of a time when a woman could see blood in a time that wasn't the right time for her ordinary time, and then she would be called a zava. We today don't keep to that distinction, and there's a whole set of halachos that apply to that. That's not quite relevant to our issue today. But what came about in the time of the Gemara, and there's a debate about whether it's sort of Darabanan or the right time, I'm pretty sure we passed the Darabanan. That's also not relevant to our discussion today. But the idea of a veset was the primary importance today, of halachic importance today, of a woman who's menstruating becomes what we call a nidah, is that a husband and wife cannot live together as husband and wife while she's a nidah. And that's a whole set of halachot that we could talk about maybe another time, but that is what happens, and it's very serious for a woman who is a nidah. If they do have marital relations, intercourse, that is a karet prohibition for the both of them. They would get karet. And that's true, not relevant to our topic today, but that's true for any time a woman has become a nidah and not gone to mikvah. So in our time, one place where that comes up a lot, or rather we would hope it doesn't come up a lot, where people don't necessarily notice it, is that if a woman is just an ordinary woman and has never gone to mikvah, as in our practice today, unmarried women do not, and has relations with a man, that is a violation of a karet prohibition in some sense, on the same level as, you know, eating chametz on Pesach, as eating on Yom Kippur, as all those kinds of issues. So those are important questions that people don't always realize. But part of the importance of that, this is true for husband and wife, right? Husband and wife also have this problem. So if, you know, in a happy marriage, let's suppose the urge came upon them both in the time when she's a nidah, they're not allowed to have relations because she's a nidah. Chazal were very worried about that, about a husband and wife doing this without realizing it. Now, that's another reminder that sinning without realizing it, which we call in Hebrew shogeg, and so people translate it as accidentally, and that sort of has the whiff of completely freeing them of responsibility. But in fact, in halacha, doing something that you could have avoided, even if you didn't know you were doing it when you did it, but you could have avoided it, so that is seen as being a problem as well. So a shogeg in halacha requires kapara, requires atonement. And in fact, any sin that would get karet if somebody did it willfully and purposely and knowingly is subject to a korban chata. So in the case of nida, to make sure, to help a couple make sure that they don't stumble into this sin unwittingly and unknowingly and need the kapara of a chatat, of a korban chatat, of a sin offering, there were a couple of different safeguards put into place. Question about what we do or don't do about it today, but there was some question of whether maybe a woman should check herself both before and after she has relations. Maybe the man should check himself after they have relations to make sure that they didn't unknowingly get involved in that. But the topic, the safeguard that we're going to talk about today, was the idea of a veset. The idea of a veset is that some women, different women, have different bodily cycles, and it's very personal, but within the realm of the very personal, Chazal recognized that many women, or some women, are regular in some way. And those regularities can happen all sorts of ways. So the topic of vestot is a big one in halacha, meaning there are many permutations of it. There are some women who Chazal imagined could have, whenever they do a certain action, or within some regularity, you know, if they jump, or if they rode, you know, if they played ball, or whatever it is, that's one option, is physical actions, or ate certain foods could be a vestot for some women. But there's a whole such thing. Now, there could be vestot in Chazal's picture. This is the main one that came up. A vestot of how far apart their re'iot are. Meaning, well, there are women who see, for sure, we know today, women who see every 28 days. And they're fairly regular. They see every 28 days pretty much. So that can create a veset. So that topic of vestot is what we're going to talk about today. There's another kind of veset within that same realm, is that Chazal understood that there might be women who have a sort of a jumping vessel. They can imagine a woman who lets you see on the 14th day after her previous time, and then the next month we'll see on the 16th day after, and the next month we'll see on the 18th day after, and then the 20th, and maybe go back to 14. Or there could be all sorts of permutations. So until a woman who has established a certain regularity, that's called a veset kavua, once she's established certain regularity, until she has, then she doesn't have a veset kavua, and then there are different halachos that apply to each. So that's a very, very basic, very quick introduction to the topic of Vestas. So Moshe Feinstein wants to talk about the question now. Let's say you have a woman who never sees before 30 days, right? Let's say she doesn't, she's not necessarily regular about when she sees. Let's say she sees, you know, day 32, day 34, day 37, but never before 30 days. It's never less than 30 days. They're never within 30 days. So it's at least day 31. That's a halachic issue that raises a halachic question, because another piece of the introduction I should have put in is that halacha said, well, let's say you have a woman who doesn't yet have an established veset. We don't know when she might see. So that might create certain challenges. She might have to always worry that she's about to see. That's one challenge of it. But the chazal also instituted that she should treat day 30 like a veset. And I'm sorry, I haven't said this. On a in of time of a woman's veset, for the 12 hours of a woman's veset, the couple is not supposed to engage in marital relations either, because they are supposed to, well, we're going to talk about what they're supposed to expect. It seems like, at first glance, they're supposed to expect that that she'll see at that time. And since they can expect that she'll see within that time frame, they're supposed to refrain from marital relations for within that time frame. So now, because I think where I was, woman who doesn't have a veset at all, that's the easy case. The woman doesn't have a veset, she sees, you know, she saw one time after 17 days, one time after 27 days, one time after 30 days. She's not established a veset in any way whatsoever. So Chazal said, every 30 days she has to act as if she has a veset of 30 days. She hasn't seen yet, she has to act as if she has a veset of 30 days. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to know, let's suppose that she doesn't have a veset kavua. She sees one time 35, one time 40, one time 32, one time 90, one time 67, one time, no veset, no established pattern that we can tell, but none of them are more, are less, are within 30 days. It's always at least day 31. So if that's true, come day 30, she hasn't seen, well, she hasn't seen, that's fact A. Fact B, right, she hasn't menstruated, that's fact A. Fact B is, she does not yet have a veset kavua. By the simplest reading of the Gemara, you'd say to yourself, well, the Gemara says, a woman who doesn't have a veset kavua has to treat day 30 as her ona benonit, as her time. So do they have to do that? So Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to argue that they do not, and we're going to get into why, and that's the topic that we're going to discuss today. The reason why you think she has to observe it as an ona benonit is because she didn't have a veset and she hasn't seen yet. The reason why you think she doesn't is you might argue that for all that she doesn't have an ona, she doesn't have a veset kavua, she doesn't have an established veset of regularity, she does have a regular, she has established three times or four times, whatever the three times that you have to establish a regularity, she has established a regularity that she doesn't see before 30 days, before the end of 30 days. And then after that, who knows when, but on day 30, she's regular, she doesn't see. Should that count as a regularity that lets her not have to observe day 30 as if it was a veset? So there is an example of this in the halacha, in Kuf Pei Vav, in Yaredeya, in Kuf Pei Vav, Seif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch rules that a woman who never sees after fewer than 14 days, so until day 14, is allowed to treat herself as if she has a veset. Remember, a veset, so again, not without regard to what we do today, but in the Shulchan Aruch, there were those who held that a woman who has no veset, that all the that they have to check themselves before and after relations to be sure that she has not seen without them realizing, because she doesn't have a veset, so it's like we have no idea when she might see. She might see at any moment whatsoever. That's why it's much better to be able to establish some kind of regularity. So if she never sees before 14 days are up, at least that's a veset, the Shulchan Aruch says. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so that offers the possibility that you could say that if a woman regularly doesn't see within the X time frame, that can be a veset as well. It can be sort of a negative space veset. It doesn't tell us when she will see, but it does establish our permissibility of assuming a regularity of she won't see then, and therefore she can treat herself in that time as if she can be confident that she won't see. Rav Moshe Feinstein's position had been, the man who's writing to him had said, I heard, this is clear from Rav Moshe Feinstein's response, that I heard you hold that she can treat it that way, that she can say, nope, You know, if she never sees before day 33, she could say days 1 through 32, I have a vestet that I don't see, which doesn't mean it's impossible for her to see. We'll get, at the end of the tshuva, we'll get into the question of what happens if she goes out of her vestet one time. We'll talk about what that is in halakha and how that works, but that's what he had held. So this man wasn't sure. So Moshe Feinstein, I'll explain to you, there is a machlok al-achronim. There is a debate among the achronim. There's a dispute among the achronim about this exact question. The Sidrei Tara, which is a work on Yoredeya, the Sidrei Tara by an Ashkenazi, an Elchanan Ashkenazi from the, who was the Rav of Danzig in the 1700s. And he was born in, I think, 1713 is what I looked up and found. And so he lived a life. At the end of Kuf Pei Tet, Sif Chav, he writes about a shach there, that if she sees, let's say, 35 and 32, after 36 days, 32 days and 34 days, in the name of the Beit Yosef, that she has to be chosheshet for an Ona Beinoni. So the Sidrei Tara said, that's only because it's only been two times that it was after 30. I'm sorry, I got the numbers wrong. She saw 30, because of the way I did my notes. She saw it on the day 30, day 32, and day 34. Now that woman might be in the process of establishing what's called a veset for kfitzot, that it will be the next time would be 36. But she hasn't established it yet, because she only had two opportunities to do that. And only two of them were after day 30. So Sidrei Tara says that's why the halacha is that she has to worry about an Ona Beinoni still. Because she doesn't have she hasn't established another veset yet. She hasn't established another regularity yet. Because if the regularity is that she jumps two times each time, you need three jumps to establish the regularity, right? She's got, say, 30, 32, 34. So each time she's jumped 2 days, if the next time she's on day 36, she will have established an Ona for jumping 2 times. Now, that can't go on forever, I would think, but that's a different discussion. So Sidrei Tara says that's only because she only saw twice after 30 days. But if she had started, let's say, at day 32, then gone to day 34, and then day 36, where she still doesn't have vested kavua for the same exact reason, but there the Sidrei Tara says she would certainly, his example is 31, 32, and 34, but same idea, the answer would be, even though she doesn't have a vested kavua, she doesn't have to worry about day 30, because she has three times seen after 30, she's established a chazakah, a halachic presumption, that she doesn't see on day 30. And the Sidrei Tara explicitly compared that to the example of the 14-day woman of the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. If she's sure that if she never sees before day 14, she can always assume until then that she's like, she's got a vessel. But the Chavos Das, who was also known as the Tivat HaMishpat Rav Yaakov Lorberbaum, the Gaon of Lisa's, he was known as, and I happen to know a very funny thing that he said to Rabbi Akiva Eiger one time. I doubt we have time to talk about it here, but it's really a very funny story. It's about chutzpah yazki, about what counts as the chutzpah that will be a token of the coming of Mashiach. When he was walking with Akiva Eiger one time, if you want another joke, you should, another story, another joke, it's a funny story, it's a witticism, you'd have to email me at grothst@gmail.com, and I'll try to tell you. So, he, the Chavos Das, and Kuf Bei Vav, Siv Gimel, said he thinks it's not true that she has to, until she has another vessel, she has to worry about a vessel, about an Ona Beinoni, she has to stop on the 30th day, cease relations for those 12 hours to be sure that she doesn't have her, that she doesn't become a Nida. In fact, he was also aware of the 14-day psak in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, and I don't understand it. Like, he was so certain that until a woman establishes a veset, she has no veset. She has no right to make any assumptions about her regularity. That's what the Chavos Das was struggling with. She says, I really don't understand that, because if that were true, then why wouldn't you say that a woman always sees after 30? He gives exactly Rav Moshe Feinstein's example. If a woman always sees after 30, she shouldn't have to have been an Ona Beinoni. And that can't be true, says the Chavos Das, because he says, nobody says such a thing. Everybody knows. He assumes it, right? That's the way he reads it. So it's an example of when sources are silent on something, what does one infer from that silence? And the Chavos Das, who's not a small halakhic authority at all, is like, it's clear that she always worries about 30 until she establishes a veset. And he got his main idea from a Rashba, where the Rashba says, Zeshen Neymar, Shalot Tiresh, Shalot Bishad Veset. When we say that a woman can be confident that she won't become a Nida once she's established a regular Veset at a regular time, that she will become a Nida, when we say that she can be confident that she won't become a Nida other than that time, we don't say that in terms of other times. I'm sorry. It's the other way around. The Rashba seems to say that it's only in terms of establishing her confidence that she would become a Nida at that time, because we assume Oreach Bizman Oba, that there's a regularity to women's bodies, and therefore if she's got a regular time to see, but the Rashba seems to think, and the Chavos Das seems to build on that, that doesn't say very much about other times. Whereas, but Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that's a little odd to take it that way, to take the Rashba so fully, because we, another halacha, for example, is that a husband and wife who haven't seen each other in a while, or, you know, just haven't spoken about anything in a while, the halacha is a woman who doesn't have a veset, who doesn't have an appointed time. The halacha originally was that before they were engaged in marital relations, the husband needs to ask her alar, because the worry in halacha was, this may not be true anymore, and you have to talk about it and think about it, but the worry in halacha was that women were loath to sort of contradict their husbands or demur from their husbands. So if the husband initiated relations, initiated intimacy, the worry was that even though the woman had become an idah, she wouldn't want to interrupt him and tell him that, and that would be a terrible tragedy. And therefore the halacha was, he needs to ask her. But that's only true for a woman who doesn't have a veset. But a woman who has a veset, the halacha was, she doesn't have to ask her. So the Rosh Feinstein is saying, so that halacha would certainly seem to show, and the Rashi that halacha as well, that halacha would seem to show that if a woman has a regular veset established, she has established a regularity, that she doesn't have to worry about such things. And when it's not her time, it's not her time, she doesn't have to think about it. So it would be odd for the Rashba to say, now, you know what, that all the veset does, it tells you when she has to think she will see, tells you nothing about other times. So, and the Rambam and the Rosh had held that a woman who doesn't have a veset has to check herself, as I mentioned before, before she has relations with her husband, to make sure she didn't become an idah and not realize it. And that too shows you that the veset gets her off certain things. The veset lets her not have to worry about that at other times than the veset in the regular time. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, it's so obvious that that's true. It's got to be that what was meant was that when we say that a veset, that a regularity, lets you not worry about other times, that's only when it's been established a specific time. When it's already been established veset, she sees that X time. But if the veset just says, well, she'll see within X window, that is not yet a veset halacha enough to allow us to make any assumptions about any other times. And then we can rely on it for Torah purposes as well, which is all sorts of things. But when she doesn't have that, so then he throws another issue, because in halacha, you have to worry, since halacha was aware, the Gemara was aware, the Mishnah was aware, that women's cycle could be affected not only by time, but by other things, by bodily experiences, by emotional experience, by psychological experience. So there's all sorts of things that could happen. So when a woman is not yet demonstrated, not that she's demonstrating, but when her body has not yet fallen into a regular pattern that can be identified by time, then you have to worry about that there are other issues that are doing it as well. So if it could be, let's say, for example, that, you know, I think, you know, she if she has a certain emotional experience, she tends to have it irregular, but more often than once times, you might have to worry that that's what happened, that we haven't yet figured it out. Right, let's suppose every time her regional supervisor comes to the office to check in, and that's three times a month, but at random times, or I'm sorry, six times a year, but at random times, you know, she gets so worried. In the time of the Gemara, they certainly thought the women's emotional state could easily affect, and that's where the custom became, if you just want to know, this is just me talking about the trivia, when the custom came for women not to see her intended for a week before the wedding, that was because they worried that the excitement of seeing the husband, who at that time you didn't see very often, the excitement of seeing him might cause her to become an idah, and then you'd have to push off the wedding, or you'd have to have a wedding where they're not able to consummate the marriage that night, all sorts of complications that you don't really want to have. So the Gemara was very clear, Allah was very clear, that there are lots of ways that women can become nidot. And therefore, what Feinstein is saying, I think what Chavos Das must have meant is that until we have an established veset, we can't be sure that it's a time thing at all. It might be a mikre thing. It might be a physical action that she does, an emotional experience that she has. Whatever it is that's causing it, might be something else that we have not yet figured out or identified. And that's why we can't be sure that it doesn't happen earlier than that. That's what he says. So he's understanding the Chavos Das. So therefore, that's why he's troubled by the 14-day one also. But that's fundamentally what he thinks the Chavos Das thinks. And then he says, but I think you can distinguish the two, because you could say that the whole we only worry that there was an action or an experience that caused the vest, that caused her menstruation, and that might have happened, that might come and happen in another time before the 30-day period, before the 14-day period. He says, I think that's only when you actually know of that experience. You don't have to worry about it. This is Moshe Feinstein talking. I don't think he doesn't think you have to worry about it if you don't know what it is. That if you know what it is, and you see that her timing is a certain way, you're allowed to assume that that timing is accurate in terms of times before the time comes, even though you don't have yet a veset kavua in terms of specific times for when we can expect it to come. And then he says to me, I pointed out, because it's something to me that's very characteristic of Moshe Feinstein, and I think it it bears a lot of thinking about, although not in this context and not in this framework. And we need people who know Rav Moshe Feinstein's work a lot better than I do to talk about it. But he says, "V'afshel l'shan chavadat tachuk l'peirush." That even though the comment that I'm making, the interpretation I'm giving for the chavadat is difficult, meaning he clearly wants to follow the Sidrei Torah. Chavadat is something that troubles him, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He works his way to an answer. He says, "This got to be what he meant." And then he says, "But he, and the truth is, this thing that I told you, it's got to be what he meant, doesn't really fit his words so well. It's not so simple that that's what he was writing." He says, "I have to say that, Kedesh lo yikshem," then he has other questions, because otherwise I have all these questions on him. So that question of, you know, one of my favorite sayings is what Arthur Conan Doyle had Sherlock Holmes say, "Eliminate the impossible, whatever is left, however improbable, must be the truth," which is tautological, it's just obviously correct, except that, what if you eliminate as impossible something that's eminently possible? So then you're going to be stuck with something you say must be the truth because you've eliminated the actual truth. It troubles me in many contexts. That's a life story of mine. But here's an example where Moshe Feinstein is giving us an example of that. So whatever his reading was, and I'm not questioning his reading of Chavos Das here, I'm just saying that Moshe Feinstein is saying, well, Chavos Das says something, it's impossible that he said that, I can't believe that he said it because you have all these problems, and he may be right about the problems, but another option would be that Chavos Das didn't think of those problems when he wrote it, which is not fun to say because we have great respect for the Chavos Das. So Moshe Feinstein is saying, no, it must be this. So I agree with him. If the Chavos Das couldn't have said X, and the only other option is Y, then it's true. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in my minimal experience, is very comfortable doing that. He's very comfortable saying, I follow my logic here, that means that X is impossible, Y is impossible, Z is impossible, it must be Q. And I wonder about that, and I think it's a very interesting track of information to think about in Rav Moshe Feinstein's work. So he says, but fundamentally, he doesn't think the Chavos Das is right. He thinks that even though he's found a way to read it, it's still dachuk, it's still unconvincing, and he thinks it's much more likely that when a woman has established a regularity to not see before X time, that's true even if the X time is more than 30 days, when the issue of an ona benonin, of waiting, of pausing as if he had a vested at day 30, comes along. And then Chavos Das points out, there was another Rashba that we hadn't spoken about yet, where some evidence for the fact that she has to assume, that she can't assume that the vesed is so regular that it lets her assume she didn't see it before then, was an example of, there's halacha about, this is nothing we don't do anymore, but in the time when Tuma and Tara was a big issue, when what we touched and what foods were edible and acceptable and not, I mean, were ritually pure and not pure. So in a time, let's say, when Jews were still giving their produce to Kohanim as Truma, and Truma is not allowed to become ritually tame, ritually impure, then when a woman became a nid, it becomes very important. So the Rashba had pointed out that the halacha is that, let's say a woman has a veset, she has an established time to see, and she sees it at some other time. The halacha is that we have to worry about Tuma, that anything she's touched for the previous 24 hours, we treat as tummy, because we're not sure when she saw it. Even though she noticed it at X time, she might have seen it, but that's the halacha, within the last 24 hours. The Rashba says, this is what Chavos Das brought, the Rashba says that would seem to show that a veset does not establish a chazakah that she won't have seen till then. Right? That a veset does not establish a presumption to her, because then we would say the chazakah, in general, in halacha, we see a chazakah, we say the chazakah lasts until we know that it was broken. So here, we know that it's broken only, let's say, on day 18 with a woman over a 24-day cycle. So why do we have to, we should say, not until then. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, well, that's a very odd claim of the Rashba. It's interesting to watch him read a Rashba and say it's odd because of a Rashba, because a Rashba could hold differently. But he says, Rashi in Nidav, Dafta Aleph, points out that the reason that we worry is because once we know she saw when she wasn't supposed to, that makes us worry that on this instance, the chazakah didn't apply. And once we know the chazakah didn't apply, then we don't know when it should apply to. So those situations, very often we go back, we might have gone back all the way to the last time she saw, because any time after that, we didn't know that she saw. So therefore, but we only do 24 hours, and that's what, that's how Rashi saw it. So Moshe Feinstein is saying, so it's not, doesn't seem to be that there has any relevance to what a veset does or doesn't do. Because the point is that there, the veset, what didn't apply in that situation, and once it didn't apply, we have to figure out what to do. But it doesn't tell us what the vest does when it hasn't been broken. Now, it is true that generally in Chazakah, Moshe Feinstein says, generally in Chazakah, we say that once it's broken, we only think it's broken at the moment that we notice that it was changed or violated. So that would, like, so for example, somebody who touches something at night, and then he let's say there's a dog by your bed, or and you touch the dog in the middle of the night and you don't know what it is, but last night before when you went to sleep, and remember in those times it was dark, when it was dark it was really dark, it was just completely dark, so when you went to bed the dog was certainly alive. You wake up in the morning and the dog is dead, so even Rabbanan there agree that the person who touched that dog would be tahar. Pretty sure that that dog creates tumah if you touch it. But if it doesn't, then substitute another example, right? God forbid, a person, and you touch the person before you went late. Let's say there's somebody who's lived a very long and happy life, and they're doing well, but they go to sleep, and you go over, an aged grandmother, right? So you're 60, your grandmother's, I don't want to make it a tragedy, your grandmother's 110, middle of the night, it's dark, you don't want to disturb her, you go over, and you give her a kiss on the forehead, you don't notice anything, right? To say goodnight to her, she's sleeping, or not, but when it was still light out, when, she was alive. And she says goodnight, she goes to sleep, wakes up, you wake up in the morning, and she's not gone. So even Rabban and there agree that the person is Tahar, and that's because Chazakah of life is a Chazakah of life. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's true. Neither is an exception in that situation, and the reason why it's an exception is because, I think it's because they thought that the blood could stick around, the woman could become a Nida and stick around inside her body for a certain period of time before it actually comes out, and there was a whole complication there. So it's true. Nida is an exception in that sense that we go 24 hours back, but it doesn't show anything about the Chazakah question. Not a Chazakah question, it's Rav Moshe Feinstein's point. So that's his fundamental answer to the question. He thinks that, in fact, you can establish what I would call a negative vesed, a vesed that tells you that she won't see before a certain time, even though you don't yet have an established vesed of when she will see. And then the last little piece of the tshuva takes up another question that he raised, was why it is or how it could be that they were talking about a braita, I think, in the Gemara or Mishnah, where it says that, I think it says, it might be a paragraph of Shulchan Aruch that he's talking about, but it says that, let's say a woman had seen, day 31 and day 37 and day 90. So no vesed, except for it seems like an established vesed of after 30. And then one time she sees on day 23, and then the next month she doesn't see for at least 30 days. She has to read day 30 as a veset, as an own of Beinanin. And there it seems like the halacha is that yes, she does. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that still doesn't contradict me, because that's because of another interesting halacha. And the halacha is like the halacha goes the following way. Let's say a woman establishes a veset. So that veset becomes her veset kavua. So let's say she, for several months in a row, for years, she sees on day 27, just about every month. So if she doesn't see, if one month she sees day 26 or day 29 or day 90, whatever it is, one time, that doesn't change a veset. Two times doesn't change a veset. Three times breaks the original veset. She doesn't have to worry about it anymore, I think. Right? And then she has to treat herself as a woman who doesn't have a veset until she establishes another veset. But let's suppose she's done day 27, day 90, day 27. So she's back to her veset kavua, right? And it's back in full force. And it would again take three more to break it. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so the day 30 for a woman who doesn't have a veset yet is considered a veset kavua. So if a woman sees on day 31 and day 35 and day 39, so he's claimed that she's established a veset to not see before day 30. But if she then sees day 22, his answer is that since she has a veset kavua to see on day 30, that's the way halacha treats day 30, she would then have to treat day 30 as a veset again until three more times that she didn't see afterwards. So that's part of the complications of this issue, that she has to treat, he's claiming, in other words, so he's saying, when she three times sees beyond day 30, it's true she establishes a veset for not seeing beyond day 30, for not seeing at day 30, but that's sort of a weak veset. That's a veset which, in just one time, can be reversed. Meaning, and that would be because I think she doesn't have a full veset yet of another kind of veset. I had said that, let's say she has a veset day 27, 27, 27, then she breaks to day 90, right? So that doesn't break the original veset. She sees, the next time she sees on day 62, doesn't break the original veset. And then she sees on day 17, she sees on day 45. So she has no new veset, but the old veset is no longer in place, right? But since it's a veset kavua, if she goes back to that old veset, it comes back in full force. A veset once established, which hasn't been replaced by another actual veset. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is conceding that this idea that she has a negative veset, a veset of not seeing at day 30 or until after day 30, that doesn't become a veset that uproots the veset kavua that Chazal had. It means that she doesn't have to worry about it, but one time that she sees before day 30 will be enough to put her back in the frame of those people who see day 30. That's why he understands it in this tshuva. And there's another question about what the law is when a woman, what the halacha is with a woman who is in the process of going through menopause. So her periods, her menstruation becomes much more irregular. There are all sorts of halachas about how she has to deal with that, so that's not so relevant to our situation. The man had brought up the question of it. He says, no, that has to do with the fact that we're trying to figure out her veset and what her veset is and isn't, and how that works, and that's a special halacha in that situation, which we can talk about another time. But fundamentally, Rosh Feinstein comes out on the side of saying that if a woman doesn't see, has establishes three times where she doesn't see at day 30, she can, until she has a return to that veset, she can decide. Halacha lets her assume that she doesn't have to think that she'll see on day 30, and she, her husband, will not have to observe day 30 as a veset, as other women would have had to do if they're in that situation. That is the response today of Moshe Feinstein for the 22nd of Av, and I hope that these kinds of complications do not come our way, and that we all have happy and good marital relations with all the ways in halacha that we are allowed to and have them. And I don't know how to end this year, so I'll just stop here with thanks to Rabbi Jacob Robbins, David Hochhauser, and to the OU.